First, before I ask you anything else, can you tell me a little bit about yourself and then also why you're running?
My name is Daryl Gefkin. I have lived in the Spokane area for almost 2 decades now. I'm married to just a wonderful product of Spokane Public Schools, and we found our way back here in 2004. We've been married for about 22 years now. We've got two boys. They are an eighth grader in Sacagawea and a fifth grader at Wilson Elementary, and they've really enjoyed their experiences. They've moved through the school, and big proponents of students and District 81 and what it has provided. I've seen it take root in my wife, and hopefully continue to see that take root in three reasons why I'm running, or three primary reasons I should say. The first one is, you know, over the last couple of years and conversations I've had with people, my own experience for sure, and then expanded conversations as I've really thought seriously about running, is that there's a lot of confusion in terms of how decisions are made on the board and even as they're processed through processed down through the various schools and the districts. There seems to be a lack of clarity or just a lack of transparency, and that's something that I'd really like to address. Second reason is, you know, because of that, there's a feeling of real disenfranchisement by a lot of different people. The people that I've spoken to, and certainly in my own interactions with certain members of the school community, education community, feels as though really a lot of people feel as though they've lost their voice, you know, and that's, you know, unfortunately, that seems to be those are the constituents that the school board has been elected by and to serve, whether that's students, whether that's the families of students, whether it's a larger community, and even teachers with whom I've spoken, feel as though they're not being heard. And that's a growing concern. And then, you know, the third piece for me is opportunity. And, you know, I mentioned that I was really impressed with the public education that my wife received. So I've been impressed with some of the opportunities that my sons have had. But then I you know, have throughout my work in the last two decades in Spokane, I've seen that there's a lot of disparity. There are current prioritization of certain things that are being elevated, but across the board, there are just a lot of different ways where we're missing out on opportunities to help excellent students become even better, and we're helping, you know, and those who really need certain attention to find their greatest potential. All of us need to be our greatest potential, rather than have a low common denominator and a low bar be set and say that's all we're expecting. So, you know, excellence in education is something that I know that the school board promotes. I think maybe the methodology right now is missing that target. So those are the three reasons why I'm jumping in.
Career-wise, what do you do here in Spokane?
Yeah, for sure. So for the last 7 years, I've been a financial advisor with a comprehensive wealth management firm. I manage with a partner, or with a couple of partners, I manage a book of institutional and maybe more personal clients. We manage about $400 million in assets. So we do that. Before that, I taught at, I worked in student development and taught as an adjunct professor at Gonzaga University, and then also had an opportunity to teach a couple of classes at Eastern and some other things as well. And then before that, for about a decade or so, I was a student pastor in Spokane. That was back in 2004. And as a student pastor, I was able to be a volunteer in the Spokane School District. I was on campus at Chase Middle School and Sacagawea on a weekly basis, if not more, providing volunteer support for students, and then just getting to know a lot of different teachers at that time.
So one thing I personally think is going to be one of the biggest issues facing the school board in the next couple of years is equity. And the school board did pass an equity resolution last year around this time. And going ahead, do you think there's maybe any gaps in that, or is there areas to improve? And do you agree with the concept, and also with the concepts of like cultural competency training, for example, and other specifics that are in that resolution?
Human disparity in experiences is something that really has been one of the hearts of my, or one of the passionate areas that I've delved into for a long period of time. And so The concept of equity is fantastic in that it is more contextually cognizant. It's much more aware of case by case basis. It's much more aware of there are voices that have been diminished over history. That concept and as a premise, absolutely agree with. I think right now the school board is focusing or prioritizing one specific area of that. Potentially to the detriment of other areas of disparity and other ways that we could deal with bringing about equitable opportunities for all students. So I agree with the premise.
Could you elaborate on that?
Sure. Well, I think if you look at critical race theory as a concept, it is it's appropriate in some ways. As the sole lens through which a population as diverse and well, yeah, we'll just say that for a population that's as diverse and far-reaching as Spokane, I don't think that focusing solely on critical race theory is beneficial. There are a lot of other instances in which we're not addressing the needs of people. If we look at people who have, students who have special needs, we're not addressing them in the same lens. We're not addressing them and their voice and their opportunities. You look at poverty levels without a race lens, and you see that's something that goes beyond simply that myopic look. So I don't disagree that critical race theory is has value and has merit to a certain regard. I think to say that that is the hallmark of what we're trying to accomplish and or what the Spokane School Board is trying to accomplish and recreate the lens of all curriculum based on that, I think that falls short.
So I haven't heard the school board really talk about critical race theory. Mostly where I've heard it is state legislators where they've talked about banning it or doing something about it instead of our local school board.
Yeah, no one's people aren't trying to ban it. It's being promoted from a state level. It's definitely something that has been communicated in the board in terms of saying we need to look at. I mean, if you look at Durrell's latest video that came out talking about boundary resolutions and saying that we need to have the people who have been in the minority and I think he was proud of and I agree with him. He's proud of the fact that there's a great amount of diversity on the board right now and then saying it's usually the people of diverse backgrounds that are being overlooked in terms of boundary allocation and those sorts of things. Then it's positive that's occurring. Trying to think of where I've walked myself into a bit of a corner, but so yeah, I guess I look at the stated ideals of the board for next year, and a majority of it is actually using funding to address critical race theory. I mean, I've looked at that at the on their webpage.
I mean, how do you define critical race theory to make sure that we're on the same page about what it is?
Sure. So, if I look at it, I think in terms of equity, then I think that critical race theory right now is one of the methodologies where we're saying this is how we would address issues of equity. This is how we would, these are ways that we could actually improve. So it's a critical race theory is a little more tactical, right? As you said, the equity is more of a larger concept. So what's interesting, and I think this talks about the lack of transparency, is that a lot of the conversations that I've had, yes, explicitly within some of the open conversations, no, we haven't maybe heard that from the school board. There's a lot of confusion going on right now in terms of what the school board is directing and what they're promoting, and then also what the curriculum is, and it all centers around the promotion of critical race theory as a curriculum and as a lens through which they're gonna hope to attain some equity, right? So I don't know if that answers the question, but I mean, I absolutely agree in an equitable process and an equitable world. No question about that.
you know, one thing I wanted to ask everybody is this year we saw a lot of gaps in who had access to internet and just basic technology and support going forward. You still need internet to do a lot of your homework, especially if you're older, high school, middle school. And that is a thing that it was pretty obvious this last year that a lot of kids did not have the same access to internet. And so if you were elected to school board, is there anything that you would do in the future to make sure that, you know, all students have the technology or internet or other types of things they need to succeed?
Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, if you look at it, we consider ourselves very, very fortunate in the sense that we had internet. We had two students who are, you know, capable enough to you know, be able to self-teach to a certain degree and, you know, and take themselves through it. We had them at ages where it wasn't as devastating in terms of the social distancing that they had to do. You know, they weren't as old as high schoolers, but they also weren't so young that they were, that they really need to be handheld in a different way. You know, I look at, and we were able to work from home. And there's so many experiences across Greater Spokane where parents aren't able to work from home. They are not able to take time off from their jobs and oversee the education of their kids to the degree that they was expected to occur, right? Or to provide internet, or to provide technological assistance and navigation through all of that sort of stuff, right? So I look at that and I think it's a shame. And it's a shame that it's been so reactionary by the schools to move slowly. I get it. I get that we're all confused as far as what we need to do, but so how would I address that? I would look and I would say school choice is something that's very, very appealing. That's a real possibility. If you look at pod learning, if you look at different ways that we could maintain social distancing, but also provide a little more personal instruction to break those out. If you look at the amount of students and parents, I should say, who pulled their kids from public schools and either put them into private pods with their friends, right, and had personalized instruction either from a parent or from a teacher that they had hired or someone along those lines, that's a very, very clear option. If you look at some of the private schools, and if you look in terms of what happened with their enrollment, those are options. And so if we had a more of a school choice program, then maybe the kids wouldn't be going away from the public school or public education. They would actually be able to have different options of being able to address some of those needs. You know, I think a lot of people went into this optimistic and said, you know, this is a great opportunity for us to really, you know, dig deep, explore, get better. We'll come through this and we'll have grown. And for the duration that this has occurred and hopefully won't occur much longer, if at all, I've seen a growing gap of disparity of performance between Washington education and Idaho education. I've seen a growing gap in terms of employers that are colleagues of mine who are saying, I see a detriment in, or I see a lack of hireability for students who went through, air quotes, remote learning. So yeah, that needs to be addressed. There needs to be catch up for sure. And, you know, I mean, I look at what the school district did, and for the first nearly month, well, it was a month of March of 2020. And they said, all we're going to do right now is review your education. We're not going to move forward on it. And that's a shame. I mean, I'm confused. A lot of us are very, very confused as to why that, you know, why couldn't they just move forward on curriculum? And I get that there were some technology issues and connectivity issues and those sorts of things, but why could you not move forward on curriculum in that regard? Why could you not anticipate that in the academic year of 2021, 2020 to 2021, why couldn't you have anticipated earlier that you would go fully remote and have started school and education on day one of class, rather than saying, we're going to take a 2-week moratorium so we can train up our teachers to conduct remote learning? Like, why did that not happen during the summer? Right. I mean, all of us are stretched. Why not, you know, why not dip into that period of time during the summer where, you know, teachers typically may have off or doing lesson prep? Why not incorporate into their lesson prep opportunities to understand how to do remote learning? So that piece is there for sure. And then going to the second piece in terms of trauma. I mean, that's an extreme word. But I know that there were multiple times that we were working with our, you know, with our kids, multiple stories that I've heard, not just from colleagues and friends, but people that, whom I've had a larger, just, you know, large people in the larger community I've had a conversation with, who, you know, their kids are, they're distraught, they're frustrated, they're confused, they, you know, they're tired, they're disengaged. You know, so you look and you go, is along the spectrum, they've just learned bad habits all the way to the point of they're, you know, I missed my year, I missed my opportunity, I missed a sports season, I missed out on connecting with my friends, I missed out on activities, right? We don't know what the far-reaching consequences are on students for that.
A big topic on the school board's agenda this year was the downtown stadium, whether to put it downtown or keep it where it's at. There was a lot of people that were very for downtown, kind of saying, oh, it'll lift all the boats up by bringing more business downtown. And then there were people that were really uncomfortable with this sort of corporate partnership or partnering with a sort of government agency group, saying that, you know, this was a these are tax dollars for kids. We should not be using them for this. When you think about in the future, is these partnerships something that you're comfortable with, that we should approach with caution, or where are you at with making deals like this?
I was in support of the stadium being downtown for multiple reasons in terms of just, you know, internal growth of the city and that sort of thing. I don't know is that necessarily is a one-to-one relationship with a corporate type of partnership that went on. I look at, I mean, the schools already do a partnership with nonprofits, right? And whether you're looking at different sports entities, if you're looking at YMCA using gyms and having to pay for them, pay for facilities and those sorts of things, you know, there's precedent for that in terms of other organizations. And so if it's done with a logical approach, then I don't have an issue with that. I'll also say though that as the board was countering the offer, I was privy to some of the things that they were doing, and I would actually say that it was the board that was driving a little bit more of corporate sponsorship and saying, we want to get a cut out of this business piece, we want to be able to do this, we want to have more profit sharing, et cetera. And that so you know, again, that's just my perspective on it. I don't know fully if that's the case, and that's partly why I want to jump in here, is that there's so much confusion. There's so much he said, she said about what happened, how those things transpired. And I would like to just simply have those decisions, those processes be a lot more transparent. So there's that. And I will say isn't it interesting that, at least it is to me, it's interesting that there was a proactive survey sent out to say, what are your feelings on the stadium? Right. Whereas it was not a proactive approach in the same way to get people to really talk through and invite conversation to or even survey about school boundaries, which I think is much greater issue. Right. Now, of course, obviously they said, yes, we're gonna have public forums, we're gonna have open forums, we're gonna have it at this, you know, this date, this time, or whatever. That's, you know, that is much more of a roadblock to say you should get here to talk about and voice out your opinions, as opposed to a very, very easy and proactive approach to simply get the barometer of people's opinion on a stadium.
You know, one thing I always make sure to ask, is there anything that I did not ask you about that is important, that you really want to emphasize, or maybe that I missed?
I feel as though there are a lot of people who feel very, very disenfranchised. I feel as though there are a lot of people who are feeling as though their voice is not just is not just diminished, but is almost dismissed. And that concerns me to a huge level, you know, as a parent of students and friends to parents of students, that's hard. As someone who has worked in education and worked alongside educators for nearly 2 decades, that's hard. As someone who works in finance and is confused by some of the ways that budget is being taken care of, that's really, really hard. So, you know, so I think I can bring a unique voice to that group. It's concerning as well that there are so many of the votes are unanimous or darn close. And that's concerning to me, because even though we talk about a diversity of the board, if there's a unity in the voting, that doesn't speak to diversity very well. It doesn't speak to diversity of opinion. And that's really concerning. And I think to have someone on the board who will just simply ask questions and say, help me understand the logic of that and communicate that clearly to our constituents, I think that's a big deal to have people actually need to, on the board, need to stand up for exactly what it is that they're saying and what they're promoting. I think that's a really, really important issue. So that's the thing that's driven me to raise my hand. That's why I think I'd be a good member.